All right, what we're going to do now is talk about penicillin. There are four classes of penicillins, or you can think of them as three, but one of them has a subclass. So it's four classes you need to remember. So we have narrow spectrum penicillinase sensitive drugs. I'm going to change this. Your book uses the word sensitive. I'm going to use the term vulnerable. So we have penicillinase vulnerable penicillins. Then we have penicillinase resistant penicillins. All right, so let's imagine for a moment that you launch penicillins at the bacteria. The bacteria shoots its penicillinase and shoots it down. We're talking about penicillinase vulnerable. Now, on the other hand, what can happen is if we use one of these resistant ones, we shoot the penicillin at it, it shoots its penicillinase, and it doesn't work. It has a shield. And it kills the bacteria anyway. That's going to be penicillinase resistant bacteria. Penicillinase resistant penicillins. Then we have what we call broad spectrum penicillins, and then we have extended spectrum. Okay, narrow spectrum. There's two different kinds. There's shielded and unshielded. Shielded ones can break through the resistance of penicillin, or penicillinase. So the penicillinase tries to destroy it, and it's able to get past it as a shield that protects against penicillinase. Then we have penicillinase vulnerable, which when penicillinase is given to it, it dies and stops working, and the cell lives. It's kind of like an arms race. All right, so let's talk about the first penicillin. If you know one penicillin, you kind of know them all, except for these things up here. So let's talk about the very first one that we ever discovered is called penicillin G. It works against gram-positive bacteria, and it works against some gram-negative. It's what we call narrow spectrum, which means it doesn't really kill a huge number of bacteria. It kills a relatively narrow amount of them. And it is penicillinase sensitive or vulnerable. So, what did I say produces penicillinase? Almost all of it in the United States? Staphylococcus. So, if you give penicillin G against the staphylococcus infection, what's going to happen?
Nothing.
Not going to work. So what we can use this for, penicillin G, we can use it for some pneumonias, and we can use it against meningitis that are caused by strep, some strep anyway. We can use it against Streptococcus pyogenes, which is what causes the flesh-eating bacteria. Say it again. You got to do the claws. So the flesh-eating bacteria. Go ahead. Come on, try it. The flesh-eating bacteria, which also causes your ordinary garden variety strep throat, causes scarlet fever, endocarditis, necrotizing fasciitis, or the flesh-eating bacteria. You can also use it against some syphilis. Now, the discovery of penicillin is partly what allowed the swinging 60s to happen. Because before that, if you got syphilis, well, you're going to have syphilis until you died. Once we got penicillin, hey, no problem. Just get a shot. You're good to go, man. So syphilis, or penicillin, in part, allowed the swinging 60s to happen. It'd be hard to have the sex, drugs, and rock and roll when no one wants to touch you because you've got syphilis. All right. All right. Now, penicillin G comes in three varieties. It comes in penicillin potassium, penicillin procaine, and penicillin benzathine. You need to know the general differences for the test, and then I'll never ask you again. Well, I'll go over it. Now, all penicillin G's, if you give them by mouth, you wasted your money. You cannot absorb penicillin G by mouth. IM, you can give potassium, and it's rapidly absorbed. Procaine and benzathine, you can also give IM, and they'll last up to a month, but you get very, very low levels in the blood. And then potassium, the penicillin G potassium is the only one that can be given IV. That's the only things I want you to remember about these different types, is that IV potassium is the one you give, and that benzathine and procaine last up to a month if you give them intramuscularly. The rest of it, the most important thing about penicillin G, the most important thing you need to remember about penicillin G, the most important thing you need to remember about penicillin G, the most important thing you need to remember about penicillin G is that you cannot give it PO. I mean, you can, but it won't work. Want me to say that again? Think you got it? All right, because we'll see when we get to the test. All right, now, penicillin penetrates most tissues. It will only cross the blood-brain barrier when there's inflammation present, such as in meningitis, which makes it work against meningitis, interestingly enough. Eliminates through the kidneys. You need to adjust the dose for renal insufficiency. All right, now, penicillin is actually the least toxic of all the drugs we know, and it's the least toxic of the antibiotics. However, there is one small little caveat, and that is that some people are allergic to it. Now, most side effects that are caused by penicillin are actually caused by the potassium or the procaine. Allergic reactions, somewhere between 1 to 10% of the American population is allergic to penicillin. Reactions can range from mild, slight stomach upset, or very small rash, to life-threatening anaphylactic shock. Prior exposure is needed before you can have a reaction to it. So what kind of reaction would that be? What type of allergic reaction? Okay, anaphylactic type, yes. And what type is that? Type 1, 2, 3, or 4? Type 1. So, and it's IgE mediated, if that rings a bell. And what's the person you're supposed to remember to give you the picture? Say again? Hitch. So Will Smith and Hitch. When he swells up, that's what you're supposed to remember. Now, even though prior exposure is needed, where does penicillin originally come from? Mold. So if you've ever eaten bread in your life, chances are you've had a little bit of penicillin mold go along with it. And that's enough to sensitize a person. So the first time they get penicillin, they can have a full allergic reaction. So people who have these allergies should carry or wear a medic alert bracelet. So if they faint or if they are in a car accident, they won't give them penicillins by accident. All right, penicillin allergy. 5 to 10% of the people who have penicillin allergy have cross-reactivity with other beta-lactam antibiotics. That will be a test question. Okay, circle it, highlight it, whatever you want to do. 5 to 10% of people with penicillin allergies have cross-reactivity to other beta-lactam antibiotics. So the allergy is not to the penicillin itself, it's to its breakdown products. Now, there are three types of reactions. There are immediate, which can happen 2 to 30 minutes after getting it. There's accelerated, which happen from 1 to 72 hours. And then there is late, which can happen from days to weeks later. That's why sometimes it's difficult to figure out what's causing it. Because you take your full course of antibiotic And then 2 to 3 weeks later, you start feeling sick and you have this reaction. And you go, well, that must not be it. So you need to tell your patients that they can have reactions up to 2 to 3 weeks later. Anaphylaxis is very, very rare. It's only 0.02% of the people who have allergies. All right, so if we've got a patient who's got the allergy, the very first thing we need to do is verify the reaction. Then we're going to tell them, don't take any more. Go back to your doctor, get a new prescription for something else. If there's mild reactions, like say this is a very, very small rash or maybe just a little bit of stomach upset, then you can try cephalosporins, which are another beta-lactam antibiotic. Again, 5 to 10% cross-reactivity. If the person has a severe one, you won't try cephalosporins because you don't want to take the chance that this person could have cross-reactivity. You don't want them to die because you gave them something that's similar. So in very severe reactions, you're going to use either vancomycin or a macrolide, say Z-Pak. Say erythromycin. Z-Pak or erythromycin. Those are the two drugs that would most likely be given in the macrolide family. All right. If there's no other alternative, penicillin is the only thing in the whole world that can cure you. You're going to die if you don't get penicillin. Then what we'll do is we'll try and desensitize the person using immunotherapy, and we'll also give them immunosuppressants and or antihistamines. And we'll also have epinephrine on hand in case they start going anaphylactic on us. Got it? All right. So, congratulations. You know almost everything you need to know about penicillin. Almost.
For the cross-reactions, what if you take cephalosporin? Like, would it do the same thing if you took cephalosporin?
Possibly. Yeah. So the question was, if a person is allergic to cephalosporins, could they also have cross-reactivity to penicillin? And it's yes, it can work both ways. 5 to 10%. All right, interactions. There's really not very many interactions. The main interaction is if you give a drug that is bacteriostatic along with the penicillin, it makes the penicillin not work. Now, what does the word bacteriostatic mean? Stops it from growing. And what do we need to happen in order for penicillin to work? It needs to grow. So if you give a drug that stops growth and a drug that needs growth in order to work, one will stop the other drug from working. So if you give it, if you give penicillins or any drugs that interfere with drug with the cell wall in combination with aminoglycoside, which is bacteriostatic, the drug that affects the cell wall isn't going to work. The other thing is that if you give aminoglycosides and penicillins together in the same tube, you'll get this nice white crystal and it'll turn into a rock. So don't do that. Don't mix them in the same tubing. There we go. All right. Yes, ma'am. Aminoglycoside? It's a different type of antibiotic. We'll talk about them probably tomorrow. You do not put them together because they will form a precipitate, a white. I did say they just kill each other. I was wrong about that. They don't. You can give aminoglycosides and penicillins to the same patient, but not in the same tubing. Okay. All right. What? Okay. All right. Aminoglycosides and penicillin, if you put them in the same tube, they mix together and they form a white rock. You don't want that white rock going into the patient's veins.
I thought
you said aminoglycosides are bacteria. Yes, they are. Unless you give them in high doses, in which case they become bacteriocidal. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Just don't give them in the same tube and we'll all be happy.
Okay.
There you go. All right.
So you have to give it at a high dose in order to give it more dose.
Yes. All right. Don't worry about it. Just remember, penicillin plus bacteriostatic don't work so good. aminoglycoside plus penicillin in the same IV causes rock. Don't do it. Just remember those two things, we'll all be happy. All right. Now, next we're going to talk about penicillin VK. Penicillin VK is exactly the same as penicillin G, except that you can give it orally. That's all you need to know about penicillin VK. Got it? So, you're going to have a test question, I guarantee you, and you'll have a patient, and it'll say, which is the correct one? And it'll say something like penicillin G, PO. And it'll say something like penicillin VK, PO. And which one are you going to choose? VK. Or it might say something like, they need a shot of penicillin G or penicillin VK? Penicillin G. So, shots, penicillin, PO, VK. All right, both of those are vulnerable to penicillinases. Now, the next group we're going to talk about are the ones that are resistant to penicillinase. So they have shields that protect them from penicillinase. We use these for staphylococcus infections. Do we use these for MRSA? No, why not? MRSA is resistant to these two. Why is MRSA resistant to these two? Because it has altered penicillin binding proteins. No penicillin works against MRSA. Say no penicillin. Now, let's move on. All right, so MRSA is different. So these are the drugs that we use. By the way, methicillin, no longer available on the market. It's very dangerous. It kills kidneys. We just call it MRSA for old time's sake. You do not need to remember any of these drugs. All you need to remember is these three items here. We use them for staphylococcus. 90% of staphylococcus in the United States produces penicillinase. We do not use them for MRSA because MRSA has a different kind of resistance. That was easy, right? All right, next we have what we call broad-spectrum penicillins, sometimes known as aminopenicillins. There's two drugs. You need to remember them both, but I'm never going to have one on a test. One is amoxicillin, and the other one is ampicillin. Ampicillin is an older drug, more side effects, and a little bit less broad-spectrum. Amoxicillin is a little bit newer, a few fewer side effects, and works on more bacteria. How many of you have ever had amoxicillin? Unless you're allergic, chances are you've had it sometime in your little life as a child when you had an ear infection, because it's the drug of choice for ear infections. How many of you ever had Augmentin? You've also had amoxicillin. All right, there's another one, bacampicillin. We don't care about that. All right. The major side effect with amoxicillin, you know what it is? Stomach ache. Nausea, possibly vomiting, diarrhea. You don't have to. I think it helps the absorption a little bit. They do recommend that you take it with food, but you don't have to. These are vulnerable to penicillins, and so you can give amoxicillin in combination with a shield, and the combination together is called Augmentin. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. All right, the next and last group is called extended-spectrum penicillins. Extended spectrums work on things like Pseudomonas, Enterobacter, Proteus, and Klebsiella. The major thing that they're used for in the hospital is for Pseudomonas. So that's probably going to be on a test. You're probably going to have a patient who's got a Pseudomonas infection, and you'll be given a list of different penicillin drugs and say which is the appropriate one. And you should choose one that is an extended spectrum. Now, these are the drugs right here, and the one you need to remember is piperacillin. It's the most common one in these parts. Again, do not mix with aminoglycosides. By the way, amoxicillin, how's it given? PO. How is piperacillin given? IV. All right, now, we can combine penicillinase with a shield, or sorry, we can combine penicillins with a shield to make them more resistant to penicillinase. And then we call those combinations various things. So we've got, these are the two you need to remember, Augmentin and Zosyn. So Augmentin is amoxicillin plus clavulinic acid or clavulinate. It's called Augmentin. That's the brand name. Expensive stuff, by the way. Then we have Zosyn. Zosyn is piperacillin plus tazobactam. It's called Zosyn. What's the purpose of adding the tazobactam and the clavulinic acid? Gives them shields against penicillinase. So it makes them better at treating bacteria that produce penicillinase. Does it make them better at treating MRSA? No. You guys are smart. I'm going to have to try harder to trick you. Don't worry, I'll try the same hardness. All right, so we're done with penicillins. All right, the drug names you need to remember. Penicillin G, penicillin VK. What group do those belong to? Narrow spectrum penicillinase vulnerable drugs. Out of the penicillinase resistant drugs, what drug name do you need to remember? Which other one? What? Penicillin G and penicillin VK are penicillinase vulnerable, so they are destroyed by penicillinase producing bacteria. From the penicillinase resistant, what do you need to remember? None of them. But if you had to remember one, just because it's in your brain already, which one would it be? I'll give you a hint. It's part of MRSA. Methicillin. Out of the broad spectrum, what's the one you need to remember? Amoxicillin. Out of the extended spectrum, what do you need to remember? Piperacillin. What is the most common use for piperacillin? Pseudomonas. What is piperacillin combined with to make it stronger? Tazobactam, and the combination is called? Zosyn. You will see a ton of Zosyn when you start going to the hospitals. What is amoxicillin combined with? Clavulinic acid. I can never pronounce it right. And what's that become? Augmentin. All right.